Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 11. This chapter is about the start of the civil war between the north and southern kingdom of Israel. As you recall from last chapter, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, answered harshly the request from Jeroboam to lighten up a little bit. But Solomon's foreman of construction, a man of great respect, had the hearts of the people. After all, Jeroboam was fighting for relief for the workers, but the king, the foolish young king, would have none of it. Therefore, Jeroboam the foreman led a revolt against Rehoboam the king and caused the kingdom to split, but not quite down the middle. In fact, there were 9 tribes that went with the northern kingdom. Actually, technically there were 10, but the Levites trickled down into the south, making 3 against 9. There were 12 tribes after all, and so the 2 that went south were Judah and Benjamin, and the 3rd one trickling down were the Levites, who didn't want to be separated or cut off from the temple. And in the north, which would eventually become Samaria, you would have the capital. Jeroboam the foreman would lead them as the king, and they would become pagans. But in the south, Jerusalem remained the capital, and Solomon's descendants would sit on the throne, and they would be semi-faithful followers of God. But not really. Most civil wars are brutal. Did you know that the American Civil War had 650,000 to 1 million deaths? It's hard to tell sometimes. And the Russian Civil War was anywhere from 5 million to 9 million deaths. But it would be a bloodless battle in the beginning of this kingdom split, as we'll see in this chapter. We read in verse 1, when Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 able young men, to go to war against Israel to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam. But this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, this is what the Lord says. Do not go up to fight against your fellow Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing. So they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from marching against Jeroboam. Now this was because God put a stop to this bloodshed. This was part of his plan. God's advice was to let them go and let them do their thing. At first, because Solomon was of the tribe of Judah, only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to their king on the throne. So they became known as the kingdom of Judah, the one tribe that stood by King Rehoboam. And the northern kingdom, the majority of the tribes, became known as the kingdom of Israel up in the north. They saw themselves as the true Israelites. Now, the weird thing is that for the rest of the Bible, that northern kingdom of Israel would be unfaithful to the covenant with God. Out of the northern kingdom would come kings like King Ahab, one of the worst idolaters ever. And that whole kingdom would never once turn to God for the rest of their history. And they would eventually be conquered by the Assyrians long before the Babylonians rolled in. And when that happened, the Assyrians would intermarry with the Jews in the kingdom of Israel and make Samaritans. Now I heard the sound of a penny dropping. And maybe now you're beginning to understand why the Jews were so afraid of the Samaritans in the New Testament and so disgusted by them. Because, you see, they were the pagan half-breeds of their ancestors. The Samaritans were a picture of what the Jews could easily become if they weren't careful and guarded their faith. In fact, that's why in the New Testament you only see 3 tribes that survived. Because the others were bred out of existence by the Assyrians until they became the Samaritans. They were no longer Israel at all. They weren't even Jews anymore. Therefore, the southern Jews, the surviving tribes, were horrified. And out of those tribes, there were only 3. There was Benjamin, and Paul was from that tribe. Remember? In Philippians, he says, I was from the tribe of Benjamin. Well, there's one of them. Where are the other 2? Well, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. and the Levites, well, those were the high priests. We see those because, as we're going to learn in this chapter, they come trickling down to the south because they want to be near the temple. Sound like a broken record? Have I repeated this? Well, I just want you to get it. Because once you understand this one pivotal moment in Israel's history, the whole Bible begins to crack open. You realize that God is going to deal with two kingdoms now, not just one nation of Israel, but two. One that goes full on out towards paganism, and they inherit all the curses very fast. But the southern kingdom of Judah plays a little bit of two steps forward, one step back with God. They're faithful and then they're unfaithful. And then a king repents and calls a national repentance and the people repent. And God spares him and begins to bless him again. But then another king raises up and he brings them back into idolatry. It's a little dance, really. And there's more than five dance steps to it. But by the end of it, they dance themselves right off the edge of a cliff and into Babylonian captivity. But God promises them before they go that he'll bring them back. Well, verses 5 through 17 are about the fortifying of the southern kingdom known as Judah, the southern kingdom. Eventually, Benjamin joins him as a tribe and most of the Levites. We read in verse 13, the priests and Levites from all their districts throughout Israel sided with him. The Levites even abandoned their pasture lands and property and came to Judah and Jerusalem. Because Jeroboam and his sons rejected them as priests of the Lord when he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat and calf idols he made. Woohoo! Those from every tribe of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, 3 years following the ways of David and Solomon during this time. So the priests come south from all the cities of refuge, flooding Jerusalem. And there's one verse that shines out there. You probably caught it, but verse 16 says, those from every tribe of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to join Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. That means from all the other tribes who followed God started defecting to the south as well. And that's pretty dang cool. But finally, this chapter ends with verses 18 through 23 with Rehoboam sending 28 of his sons and 60 daughters away for safety, but also to rule his land for him. And what a mess. All because he didn't listen to his elders. Well, actually, it was more than that. God had a hand in it. And he'd warned Solomon that if he didn't follow and obey the covenant, there would be consequences. Well, here they are. The cursings start to mount up, and things begin to unravel rather quickly. And you know, this can happen rather quickly in our lives. Our sin and compromise can suddenly rear its ugly head up. And maybe right now you're dabbling in pornography, and it's under the surface. It's there, but it's not being addressed. And you think, oh man, I could just deal with this. I can just stop. But you can't. And it continues a secret sin until one day you're married and have kids and it erupts like a volcano, destroying your family, costing you your job, and wrecking your life. As everything in your life is torn from you, you wonder, why didn't I go to a leader or someone I could trust? Somebody who is equipped to help me, a Christian counselor, or get prayer, or get accountability. Because at any moment, my friend, wherever you are, you can turn to God in humility and you can ask him for help. Wherever you're at, God will meet you right there. And he'll deliver you.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.